riding through the glen.
Welcome, everyone, to Street and Curb. I'm your designated driver, Steve Carvelli, and that's right. You heard it right here. The Robin Hood theme song is our theme song for today. So we have a lot to discuss and why that's the theme song, and I want to welcome everyone to our Street and Curb radio network. We're stretching all the way from here, WWDB in Philly, to Fayetteville, North Carolina, Fort Myers, Tampa, Huntsville, and soon in North Jersey and Jackson, Mississippi. So we have a lot coming on our network. We keep on expanding, and we hope you could join us in our expanded markets. So again, why are we talking about Robin Hood today? Well, there's two people in the news with some similarities attributed to Robin Hood. One is Daniel Penny, and the other one is Luigi Mangione. So let's, before we get into that and why the similarities are there, let's discuss the whole legacy of Robin Hood in the first place. Well, first of all, it comes from English folklore in the Middle Ages. In the later Middle Ages, he was a heroic outlaw. He took from the rich and gave to the poor. He had a partisanship with the commoners against authority and against the rich. So Robin Hood became a symbol of power to the commoner. A heroic action against the tyranny or the rich. And it was also against authoritarianism and controlling people. So the heroism really occurred even regardless of the outlaw status. But we're going to look about the similarities and how media has attributed a Robin Hood type of status to both Daniel Penny and Luigi Mangione. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, but listen to our sponsors, and we'll be back on the backside.
Paul Oster, certified FICO Pro, the nation's credit repair man and the president of Better Qualified. 20 years of helping thousands of people just like you repair their credit. We have an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, and our clients have saved thousands of dollars with lower interest rates. We're currently helping people in your area, so take the first step. We have helped our clients to have hundreds of thousands of late payments, collections, and charge-offs deleted from their credit reports. Are you tired of getting denied? Tired of higher interest rates? This is your message. You can own a home. You can get out of debt. You can afford that new car. 20 years later, you have my word. If you're ready to help yourself, I know we will help you, and I'll guarantee it. Text the message CURB to the number 40691. Again, text the message CURB to the number 40691 for your free consultation and credit analysis.
Robin Hood, riding through the glen.
Welcome back, everyone, to Street and Curb. I'm your designated driver today, Steve Carvelli. And that's right, you have been listening to The Adventures of Robin Hood. And why we're talking about Robin Hood today, because there is a parallel between Robin Hood, the myth of Robin Hood, the legacy of Robin Hood, and what I call Robin Hood syndrome, to two people in the news today, Daniel Perry and Luigi Mangione. So let's discuss Daniel Penny first. A little bit about the coloring of this whole situation. Back on May 1st, 2023, Jordan Neely and Daniel Penny had an interaction on a New York subway. According to court testimony, Neely barged into the subway car, apparently high on drugs. He threatened passengers while in some kind of psychotic episode. He actually stated to certain people that someone was going to die today. And actually, the person who did unfortunately die was Mr. Neely at the hands of Daniel Penny, who came up from behind, put him in a chokehold to immobilize him to prevent him from doing anything to the passengers. So here we are, 2 weeks later after that, Penny, an ex-Marine, is arrested and charged by DA of New York City, Alvin Bragg. And he is charged by Alvin Bragg with two counts. One is second degree manslaughter, which is a very serious offense. It could land you in jail up to 14 years. And the second offense was criminally negligent homicide, which is not as serious, but still a serious issue, can put you up to jail for 4 years. Now, according to court deliberation, the judge made instructions to the jury that to deliberate on the lesser charge of criminally negligent homicide only if they found Penny not guilty of the higher charge. Now, during the deliberation, the jury was deadlocked twice. They came back to the judge, and the defense asked for a mistrial. The judge denied the mistrial, and he dismissed the top charges, the top charge, at the behest of the prosecution, which was not agreed upon by the defense. The defense asked for another mistrial, denied again. So it looked like the judge was trying to get the jury, or perhaps influence the jury in a subtle way, to convict on the lesser charge. Now, I don't know if that's be galvanized as being true, but it just seemed that way. But what happened was he was acquitted even on that charge. So he was totally acquitted of all the charges. There is a civil suit going, but he was acquitted on the top and bottom charge. Now, of course, this verdict polarized the American public. To some, he is kind of like a Robin Hood, a Marine of subways, helping to protect the subway commuters, the day-to-day workers who use the subway every day, who are terrorized, threatened by a whole host of, you know, malcreants and undesirables of New York. Now, whether that's true in this case or not, but, you know, Neely did present some type of threat to some people in the subway. To others, and maybe how they expanded the scope of what his effect was, it was an indictment on the New York City mental health programs and the lack thereof. If you remember, there was over $1 billion spent on mental health programs in New York City that apparently didn't really have any type of effect on reducing the amount of people who need it. So in this case, I mean, I'm a subway rider myself in New York City. The question becomes, who do you want in the car with you? Do you want someone who is mentally unstable and psychotic? Or do you want someone like Daniel Penny, who, if there is a situation, he will act. He will not sit on his cell phone and, you know, dodge the look of the people and, you know, pretend he's texting and so forth and act on people. So I guess the majority of the Americans would want a Daniel Penny on the subway versus a psychotic. I mean, it's just common sense, but, you know, we'll have to see. But on the flip side of this whole concept of Daniel Penny, they have a whole narrative that's really propagated by a lot of the NAACP and so forth. And there's some valid points here. They said that the situation with Daniel Penny dehumanizes and demonizes victims. And it created a whole issue of, you know, how undesirable Mr. Neely was. And then it demonizes him, which is true in a sense. We don't like actions that threaten our well-being. But they also go to a kind of a reductio logic that always leads to a racist type of motivation. And it's kind of a stretch to get to the point that Mr. Penny acted with racist tendencies. If it was a white person who was doing the same thing, would he not have done the same thing? I mean, I can't speak for him, but, you know, it always goes back to it's a racist issue, and that's the problem. So it doesn't matter who the victim was or what the race of the victim was. We don't identify the victims by what their situation was. But people act, and he did act. But, you know, it goes by the sense that there is a logical, you know, necessity, whether in today's culture or not, that everything gets reduced to an identifier of race. And I don't think that's the correct logical conclusion from this. It's a kind of a function of today's culture that we have this kind of reductio logic that goes to that. But that's where we are today. Those are the two sides of the Daniel Penny situation. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about the assassination of the healthcare CEO at Luigi Mangione. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Paul Oster, certified FICO Pro, the nation's credit repairman and the president of Better Qualified. 20 years of helping thousands of people just like you repair their credit. We have an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, and our clients have saved thousands of dollars with lower interest rates. We're currently helping people in your area, so take the first step. We have helped our clients to have hundreds of thousands of late payments, collections, and charge-offs deleted from their credit reports. Are you tired of getting denied? Tired of higher interest rates? This is your message. You can own a home. You can get out of debt. You can afford that new car. 20 years later, you have my word. If you're ready to help yourself, I know we will help you, and I'll guarantee it. Text the message CURB to the number 40691. Again, text the message CURB to the number 40691 for your free consultation and credit analysis.
Robin Hood with his band of men, feared by the bad, loved by the good, Robin Hood.
Welcome back, everyone, to Street and Curb. I'm your host, Steve Carvelli, and we're talking about two people in the news that are contributing to the Robin Hood syndrome that I think we're facing today. So we just talked about Daniel Penny, and I want to talk about the other guy in the news, the McDonald's eating guy who got in trouble and got arrested in Pennsylvania. And that man's name is Luigi Mangione. Luigi Mangione is an Ivy League graduate from a relatively privileged family in the Maryland area. And he is accused of stalking and shooting the CEO, Brian Thompson, of United Health on a New York City street while he was on a way to a conference. So while on the lam, he traveled to Altoona, Pennsylvania, where he was recognized eating a hash brown at McDonald's, and he was arrested there. And to the latest news, he is fighting extradition to New York, but he is arrested and charged with this crime. So again, it goes back to the sense that he deliberately and intentionally and with a plan stalked and shot a man in cold blood on the streets of New York. Now, there's a lot of issues and talk about the reasoning and the motivation of this guy. You know, he comes from an Ivy League family and he's well-to-do. But they interviewed some of his friends, and it talked about his chronic back pain and how it interrupted his day-to-day activities, and he was in constant pain. So let's go through the ideas and the reasonings that I've seen in the media in regards to his actions. Number one, back pain. Well, you know, tremendous pain can cause you to do a lot of things, some of them good, some of them bad. I don't know how intensive they would be to stalking someone and exerting more physical activity to kill somebody. So I don't know where the back pain comes in, but that has been one of the reasons on why people act that way. Number two is a broader issue, dissatisfaction with the healthcare coverage for himself or for a family or friend. Perhaps there was a situation that he had a claim at UHC. It was denied. It was protracted out. It was defended. I mean, that seems to be a little more logical because they did find some clues on the bullets that seemed to indicate that he had dissatisfaction with the healthcare system. A third option is he's just delusional and mentally unstable. That will be for the courts to decide and for the experts to decide. And number four, the grander view, symbolic to a lot of the people who want to make him a Robin Hood, is that he acted and he made a symbolic gesture of shooting him on the way to his own conference to portray the deficiencies of the American healthcare system and how they make living for day-to-day people who are trying to make claims and trying to make a claim on their insurance almost impossible. Now, of course, it is fashionable today to assume the later, grander view. It is so fashionable that people are assuming that that is his sole motive and that it even justifies the murder in itself. It's not a mitigation factor. It's just a justification. And there's a lot of pundits and there's a lot of media people who are being interviewed on podcasts that seem to indicate that there was a kind of a relief that he killed somebody. It was a relief he killed somebody in the position that the person was in. And it was pretty much a guarantee that it was meant for a higher purpose and a higher message given to the American people. Even the McDonald's, where he was caught, was flooded with a lot of one-star reviews on Google, which Google had to stop. There have even been threats to the employee for ratting him out, even though he is being charged with murder. And the media pundits really want to justify the murder as an apparent motive for this guy who was looking for the greater good, that would benefit all of us. He was working for the American people who feel cheated and who feel deceived by the health system in the United States. This justification lays the groundwork for an additional similar action to be taken on others. What prevents people like him or people who feel the same way than him to take the law in their own hands and murder someone on the street? Now, he hasn't been convicted yet. The trial would probably be, he probably won't plead guilty. He'll probably want to go to trial to make further statements. But he is from a well-to-do family, so expect a pretty powerful and robust defense of some sort. And it will give him more opportunity to get his message out a little bit more. So we'll have to wait and see on this. This is kind of a thing in evolving in process. But I want to discuss what people feel about both of these people. Now, Daniel Penny was adjudicated and found not guilty. Luigi Mangione is about to go to court. But, you know, one was a deliberate murder. One may have been an unintentional killing. But in both sense, both are being viewed as a kind of a Robin Hood look. So let's discuss what the Robin Hood syndrome is. And I'm calling it a syndrome here because, you know, we're not in the Middle Ages and, you know, Robin Hood is a fictional character. But the Robin Hood syndrome really works this way. There is an aggrieved party in both senses. The aggrieved party in Daniel Penny's case is the subway riders, the common New Yorkers who go to work every day, or any subway worker who goes to work every day using the subway and subject to these kind of people. So Penny is a subway rider and Mangione is a people with or without adequate health care coverage or who've been denied health care coverage or have had problems in health and problems getting their health insurance to cover some of their issues. There was also part of the Robin Hood syndrome, a need for a redress or reset. In other words, things need to change. Now, in the Daniel Penny case, it's a situation that security, safety needs to be of utmost importance for riding the subway. But also, there has to be a reset of the mental health work and programs in New York City to help people who have mental deficiencies, who are out on the street threatening people. And third, there is a need for an action against the status quo and a bad system. This goes back to the number two thing I was just talking about. This is a situation in which, for the Daniel Penny case, besides safety in subways, there has to be a reform of the healthcare coverages and the healthcare provisions of mental health, especially in New York City. In the Mangione case, it has to deal with healthcare. It has to deal with healthcare in general, revamping the insurance system, making it affordable for all, and maybe the answer is healthcare for all. And number four, if the actors, which in both cases, Daniel Penny and Luis Mangione, have to act to help a commoner at the expense of the system. And if you remember Luigi Mangione, the comments he's been making that they've seen in his manifesto, he's working for the greater good. He believes in humanity, and he's living it. He's doing the actions for a lived in humanity. It's interesting. I mean, it's kind of like a catharsis of such that he's doing this kind of action, but it's being picked up on the media. And what happens is in this Robin Hood syndrome, depending on what situation we just talked about is, the actors and their actions receive wider public support and admiration. And that's what's happening now. Whether it's right or wrong, they're both receiving admiration. So when you look at the original folklore of Robin Hood, although he's been heroic, he was violating the law in the Middle Ages. He was robbing people to give to other people. And does this question the law in itself? But the law still remains. So what is the remedy? Penny was charged and found not guilty. Mangione's waiting trial, extradition and trial. And in both cases, you're going to have to see what the rule of law will be. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the media hype and how the media has really perpetuated the Robin Hood syndrome here.
Paul Oster, certified FICO Pro, the nation's credit repair man and the president of Better Qualified. 20 years of helping thousands of people just like you repair their credit. We have an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, and our clients have saved thousands of dollars with lower interest rates. We're currently helping people in your area, so take the first step. We have helped our clients to have hundreds of thousands of late payments, collections, and charge-offs deleted from their credit reports. Are you tired of getting denied? Tired of higher interest rates? This is your message. You can own a home. You can get out of debt. You can afford that new car. 20 years later, you have my word. If you're ready to help yourself, I know we will help you, and I'll guarantee it. Text the message CURB to the number 40691. Again, text the message CURB to the number 40691 for your free consultation and credit analysis.
Robin Hood, Robin Hood. Welcome back, everyone, to Street and Curb. I'm your host, Steve Carvelli, and I want to welcome you on the Street and Curb Radio Network, which stretches from Philadelphia to North Carolina to Florida, soon to be in Jackson, Mississippi, and in North Jersey. So we're covering a good swath of the United States, and hopefully we're going to be covering more and more geography as the 2025 rolls around. But today we're discussing two actors that are in the American stage right now in the news, and the Robin Hood syndrome, which I think is really dominating the media circuit right now. And I want to create something, you know, why the Robin Hood syndrome is really coming out. It's created by media. The media creates this Robin Hood image. And in the case of Mangione, it's really going to cast a doubt on whether he can get a fair trial of his peers. I do think it kind of taints the jury pool a little bit, and we'll have to see how that plays out. But I think the more and more the media justifies in any level the actions of someone who creates, who does an action that is against the law, does extend the folklore a little bit of the Robin Hood syndrome. And I think that's kind of interesting here. The public has really has been Robin Hood inoculated, as I like to say, and somehow immune to the consequences of the violation of law. In the Mangione case, he killed somebody on the street. There was an aggrieved party. His family, his sons and his family are really suffering right now. And it really played up on the media. SNL had a whole segment on it, whether it was tasteful or tasteless. It's open to debate. But it is amazing that the media has recast a little bit of the actors in these situations to make them, you know, something that maybe they are or they aren't. But somehow in mythology, they do exist. It's going to play out more on the Mangione trial because, of course, this has not been adjudicated yet. I think with the Penny situation, he was kind of anointed a Robin Hood type of look after the trial and not so much during the trial before it came up. It was talked about, but the media didn't really play it. The media locked on to Mangione because of healthcare. And healthcare, yes, is an issue in this country. It needs to be discussed. All of us have had issues with, you know, filing claims and getting coverage and trying to pay for it. It has always been a problem. However, you know, if this is the media that gets us there, and if this is the actor that gets us there, I think it's a sad state of affairs for America. The media is making the discussion of healthcare up front. As a matter of fact, I've even heard some hedge fund people who are actually investing in United Healthcare haven't discussed whether this murder affected their decision to invest in UHC. And it is amazing on talk shows, on CNBC, that these questions are coming up to hedge funds when they're discussing their portfolios on whether this type of discussion of healthcare precipitated by this murder somehow needs to be addressed by them right now. And it does need to be addressed, but that is not the reason for that it needs to be addressed. You know, we make assessments of people's actions. Some of them are wrong, some of them are correct, and whether they're good, bad, heroic, even cowardly. But the assessment cannot justify beyond the legal guardrails that exist at the time. In Luis Mangione's case, murder is an illegal act. It's an illegal act in every state. It's been an illegal act of every state. It's even in the Ten Commandments that we shall not murder. So you cannot assess and have people go beyond the guardrails that legally exist and say that not only do we justify his actions, it leads us to a greater good. Perhaps the justification of his actions, what they're considering as justification, are really mitigating factors, but it is still murder is murder. And when I talk about the Robin Hood syndrome, it is basically that. It is a perception of the media, and the media designed and perpetuated the myth. It is generally good reading. It is good viewing. It is good watching on podcasts. And the specialized media, this is the media such as podcasts and radio shows, and maybe to an extent my show, kind of feels on it and kind of pokes the bear a little bit to keep it going. I've listened to a lot of podcasts on these issues, and they're always having healthcare as being a discussion, and it's generally a lead-in. It's been led in by the murder situation, and it is not correct. I mean, we have to address the rule of law in this country. We have to address the guardrails that do exist, and then we have to judge actions based on those guardrails and where they have implications from down on, you know, further down. Now, we've had this before. We've had when there's a mass murder or something, it always goes into a political realm after that, or a mass shooting, that we talk about gun control. And we talk about something that's a little more broader in the sense that it's not affecting the people who are affected by the actions of the shooter. And I understand that. And that goes into a broader question that's what gets the national discussion going. But in each sense, we do not justify and we do not rationalize ourselves to elevate the actor who has done something bad to something that they shouldn't be not. And you have to remember on how people interpret Robin Hood. Robin Hood still was, although heroic and doing the right thing, he was still acting illegally at the time. And what are the ramifications from that? Number one, you change the law so that wouldn't be illegal. You can always do that. Modify the laws. Adjust the law so there are exceptions, whatever it may be. But those are the actions that need to be taken first. The guardrails exist for a reason. You don't jump the guardrails and say, oh, by the way, they shouldn't have been there in the first place. You jump the guardrails and then make meaningful change in either courts, in the legislation, by law, by election, whatever it may be, to change the position of the guardrails, which is fine. We don't do that. The media doesn't do that in this country. The media jumps to the conclusion that the guardrail is wrong and therefore that it doesn't need to be honored. And this is where I think the problem in this country lies, is that we have legacy media that perpetuates a lot of myths and creates a narrative that they force on the American public or present to the American public that gains some traction with social media, that gains some traction with influencers and podcasts, and continues to elevate the consciousness of America to consider that as a possibility. But the rule of law is just that. It is the rule of law. So I think with both these actors today, you have a Robin Hood syndrome. One being a little more salient than the other, but both in a sense is a Robin Hood syndrome. We should take the actors for the conduct that they did, judge them for the conduct that they did. If they're found guilty, fine. If they're found not guilty, that's fine. But to elevate it to anything other than that is a stretch. We should have national discussions on issues, but I do not believe on some of the jumps in logic that are going from one actor to a national stage. So it's hard to say, you know, Robin Hood does serve a purpose in folklore. It does serve a purpose in maybe kids' stories and so forth. But there is a lesson to be learned that the rule of law is just that, the rule of law. And whether you break the law justified or not, or how you feel you're justified or mitigating factor or not, you still broke the law. It's the change that comes after the break of the law that is important for the American public and it's important for the growth of the republic. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll close today's Street and Curb, and then we'll give you some parting comments. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Paul Oster, certified FICO Pro, the nation's credit repairman and the president of Better Qualified. 20 years of helping thousands of people just like you repair their credit. We have an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, and our clients have saved thousands of dollars with lower interest rates. We're currently helping people in your area, so take the first step. We have helped our clients to have hundreds of thousands of late payments, collections, and charge-offs deleted from their credit reports. Are you tired of getting denied? Tired of higher interest rates? This is your message. You can own a home. You can get out of debt. You can afford that new car. 20 years later, you have my word. If you're ready to help yourself, I know we will help you, and I'll guarantee it. Text the message CURB to the number 40691. Again, text the message CURB to the number 40691 for your free consultation and credit analysis.
He called the greatest archers to a tavern on the green. They vowed to help the people of the...
Welcome back, everyone, to Street and Curb, and this is our final segment of the day. We're talking about the Robin Hood syndrome and how it affects two actors in the news today. But I wanted to close by a little bit of the commentary that comes on the aftermath of the Luigi Mangione arrest. That is how people, and I guess it's a thing called social media trolling or whatever it may be called, get online and trash a business because one of their employees tipped off the police on someone who was wanted for murder. And the flood of one-star reviews that hit this McDonald's and the threats that actually were discussed that went against the McDonald's employee who, quote, ratted, unquote, Luigi Mangione out, is astounding to me. You know, they want to sink the business that the person was in. They want to sink the employer that the person was in. They want to, you know, make them a social outcast. And it's really a cowardly thing on social media to leave messages, to leave this type of thing. And I think it needs to be addressed on maybe a broader level. Social media, in a lot of reasons, and in this application alone, is a cop-out and a cowardly thing because you can use anonymity as your friend and be able to do these type of things. I find it appalling that a business really has to spend money to try to fix their social media function. Google did do the right thing and drop the reviews. But it's just, again, where do these people come from who think that people who, you know, target someone and kill them, and then some public citizen sees them and reports them to authorities because he is a wanted person, becomes just as guilty in the media as the person who was found in the first place. It's almost like they were tried in social media, found guilty, and now are condemned to a life of negative reviews and negative business practices. I'm amazed at that. I think social media, you know, we talk about guardrails a lot and how people should act in this country. Social media needs guardrails. And there's a lot of people in Congress who talk about guardrails for kids and, you know, not allowing them on social media. But it's probably grown adults who are doing this and people who are of legal age making these type of reviews. And it is really surprising that this gets publicity too, as much as the actual arrest was. So again, America, we have to reevaluate and maybe reset not only how we view how people take actions to make them symbolic, but how we even review on social media actions that we don't like. And if you know what ramifications they are when we try to extend that to social media so other people follow it. So it is a reevaluation. We're coming up on a new year, a new president coming in, and I think it's a good time for a social media reevaluation in this country. So we hate to say it, but we're cutting time here a little bit. We're running out of time on Street and Curb. I want you to join us next week on our channels all across the country. We're growing every week. We're growing every month. We're going to have more of that. We're going to actually have a TV show on Street and Curb. So join us next week. We're going to be right back here on Street and Curb with another hot topic and another hot discussion. So we'll see you next week.